This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello, I'm Kellyanne Taylor, and this is the Radio Times podcast. Every week, I sit down with a celebrity guest from the world of TV or film to talk about their lives, both on and off screen. To my fellow TV enthusiasts, I hope you enjoy listening. This week's guest is the double BAFTA-winning TV chef Big Zoo. Born Zahir Hassan to a mother from Sierra Leone and a dad from Lebanon, he grew up on the Mozart estate in West London. He started cooking age 9 to, as he says, help around the house when his mother fell pregnant with his younger brother. It was whilst he was studying to become a social worker at university that he decided to drop out in pursuit of a full-time music career. After making a name for himself as a grime MC rapper, he turned the heads of TV commissioners when he started posting videos of himself on social media cooking. That landed him his Dave show, Big Zoo, Big Eats. In this episode, we talk about Big Zoo's love of Strictly, why his mum thought he was possessed by the devil, and learning Latin with Boris Johnson.
And I'm going to give you a lesson in Latin. So he taught us Latin for an hour.
What, do you remember anything that you learned?
No, it was Boris Johnson. No. I didn't even listen. We booed him when he came out. We didn't even know why. We just booed him. He just came out, we're like, boo!
Plus, we talk about the anger he felt when he won a BAFTA. Zoo, welcome to the Radio Times podcast.
Hello, how you doing? You okay?
Okay, it goes a bit everywhere, this chat.
Let's do it.
So let's start with, what is the view from your sofa? So talk me through your living room setup.
Well, just straight in, you in my house. View from my sofa. It depends what side you're sitting on. I got a massive sofa. We got DFS. They gave it to me in return for some social media posting. Wow. I've got a sofa that has like charging points, reclines, turns into a bed, headlights. Proper cool, high level sofa. So my sofa, I normally sit on a recliner because there's only two recliners. So I sit in the recliner corner. I have a TV that is massive. It's an 82 inch. Then we have like our like shelf that has all my like accolades. So like the BAFTA, the Emmy Award I robbed from Burna Boy, some broadcast awards, picture of the lads, painting for my sister, couple of little random bits, our Wi-Fi box, and then a fake plant. And then you have a rug, circle table that I hate when my friends put their feet on it, but we always put our feet on it. But I always think about, we're going to eat from that one day. Yeah, then I got a lot of cuddly toys on our sofa as well, which you'll see. It was a panda, lion, couple from London Zoo, and a couple just from IKEA. But a lot of cuddly toys as well.
You're a collector.
Kind of. I live with my friends, so.
How many of you?
There's four of us. So me, Tubbsy and Hyde are the guys I make Big Zoo's beats with. And then D, who is a musician and also my stylist. He lives with me as well.
Okay, so when you're watching TV, who controls the remote in your house?
Me, normally. It's normally next to me because I'm a very good selector.
Okay.
I have good timing.
Yeah.
Of when to change.
Okay. What do you watch?
A lot of Action Bronson. He has a program called That's Delicious.
Beep. That's delicious.
I watch that. I watch Mark Weens, who is another food blogger. He always says, "Oh wow, oh wow." And then best ever food review show, Sunny. I watch that. Watch a bit of The Sidemen, Beta Squad. I don't watch a lot of television, but I've been watching Strictly. We got Eddie Caddy. You can move your hips. I didn't know you could do that, bro.
That's so sweet that you're a Strictly fan.
Yeah, my mom loves it. So because my mom loves it, I watch it. I watched the first episode of my mom, and since then I've been keeping up. And yeah, man. Big up the kid from EastEnders, Jay Goody's son, Bobby Brazier. He's like the most beautiful man to ever live. He's really good. And whenever he dances, they're like, "You have great form and your structure of your bones." And I always feel like that's not fair. What if you're not tall and slender?
True, very
true. They don't get those comments.
Yeah, but then sometimes you get kind of a rogue breakthrough. Who did we have a few years ago? Bill Bailey won it.
And Bailey, he was the underdog. My good friend, Oti Mabuse.
Oh,
it's only because of Oti that he won.
I love her.
But Bill Bailey is a musician.
So you think he's got natural
music's
rhythm?
Music's in his bones. So he, as much as he looks like an old white man who can't dance, he's actually an old white man that can dance.
Very true. Would you go on Strictly if given the chance?
They've asked me to do it before.
Have you got rhythm? Can you dance?
Yes. You should be able to see in my beard. No, I got rhythm still.
Yeah.
I can. Yeah, I can't do quick step and a tango and a flamenco, whatever the things are, but I'll try. I want to have a scandal. If I went on Strictly, I want to have a scandal.
What, like a love scandal?
Love scandal. Marriage.
Stacey
Dooley. Sorry, Stace.
She was amazing.
She won and she got a son.
So there we go. Okay, is there anything that you don't like watching on TV? TV turn-offs.
I don't want to do that. I feel bad. I feel like that's a diss. You know what? Had enough of Bargain Hunt and those kind of shows.
Yeah, okay.
There's no more bargains. The cost of living crisis. No this into Bargain Hunt, though. Sorry. You're the first one that came to my mind.
Yeah, okay. More like daytime TV, maybe not.
No, not all. I don't mind daytime TV. I don't mind a bit of Homes Under the Hammer. I love Homes Under the Hammer.
Or the one where it's You Go Away. That's also brilliant.
What? Home in the Sun, something like that.
Yeah, where you go and look at three Spanish villas and realize how much more money.
Yeah, that one's all right as well. That one's all right.
Okay, what's your TV snack and drink of choice?
TV snack. I love sweet and salty popcorn. Sweet and salty. No?
No, just salt.
Just salt.
Otherwise, it's overwhelming.
No?
Yeah.
I love the combination of both.
Well, it's your TV snacking.
Exactly. Hating on me for no reason. Sweet and salty popcorn, and then what? Drink?
Drink of choice.
I love orange juice.
With ice?
No.
With bits?
No.
Okay.
Just orange juice.
And nice.
Just chilled orange juice. I love tasting all versions as well, like from concentrate, Tropicana, every version, Sainsbury's Essentials, then taste the difference.
Yeah, the best one is Tesco. Just own brand, I believe.
It's all right.
What's yours?
Tropicana.
Tropicana.
It's a little bit thin, though.
And this can be quite expensive.
What can I say? I have a Tesco's club card.
Yeah.
And I get a little bit of discount.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or that's Sainsbury's Nectar card, £3.
£3?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do you watch other cooking shows?
Of course.
Do you not think that feels like work?
I love it. Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives with Guy Fieri. That is my favourite cooking show of all time.
You have a very niche taste.
Yeah, Triple D. Triple D. There's a reason there's flipping 85 seasons. Let me see if my Wi-Fi is working. You ready? Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives. You ready?
I'm ready.
Diners, Drive-In and Dives. How many seasons? That's what I want to know. Let's see how many episodes. 419 episodes.
Wow.
419. Do you understand how 45 seasons? 45.
That's going to be like you.
No, I don't know if we could do 45 Big Eats.
Yeah, why not?
That's a lot, bruv. We do one a year.
Well, I mean, you've started. Series four. Okay. I want
36 to go.
Well.
No, that's bad maths. It's not 36.
I can't help you. That's how bad my math is. 49?
41. Really bad
wow,
math there.
49.
41 to go.
I added.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, right. We're going to move on to the childhood questions. So what's your first ever TV memory?
First ever? I don't know. Yes. watching Kat Dealey and Ant and Dec. How they used to have this breakfast show. What's it called? SMTV Live? Kat Dealey with braces. I'm from Birmingham.
Oh my God.
I'm from Birmingham. I'll never forget that. I'll never, ever, ever, ever forget that.
We actually figured out yesterday, we have quite a big listenership in Birmingham. So,
okay.
Hello, Birmingham people. Thanks for tuning in.
4121.
What was your TV setup like growing up?
I moved a lot. So TV was in random places. But we did have, I called them the TV with a back off, which means TV with a big back. You know, the TV that had the massive extendo clip. And I had the TV in my living room, and I also had a TV in my room. I had an 11-inch TV, great telly, with an aerial, which had to bend up. And I remember always, match of the day, I used to hate it when the aerial didn't work. I would hate my life. I'd be like, this is why I am poor. I used to be so upset. Match of the day. You only get one match of the day.
Yeah.
You don't get a replay.
No.
There's no BBC iPlayer. So when the aerial starts fuzzering and going, I used to be so upset. Bad life. I'm joking, I'm all right.
Yeah. So you're
I had a TV in my room.
It's quite nice.
I wasn't rich, but I had that.
And you're a big football fan, I take it.
Yeah, Liverpool.
I just went to the women's game and Liverpool
cold
beat Arsenal women's, which was devastating.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah, wow.
My geez.
So it was you and your mum when you were growing up. Did you watch a lot of TV together?
Yes.
What did you watch?
EastEnders. I can only remember watching EastEnders, really.
It was very dramatic.
EastEnders and Big Brother.
Wow. You were allowed to watch Big Brother? How old were you?
My mum's African. They don't really know the context of anything. Yeah, watch that. It's fine. My mum did not care. Love Big Brother. Who is she?
Oh my gosh, that was iconic.
Where did you find her?
That is one of the highlights of television.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Nikki.
I know.
But we can embrace her for our moments.
That was a brilliant series.
Also, Brian. Remember Brian? The black guy?
No.
Brian. For Big Brother. Brian. Big up Brian.
I think I only ever watched that series and then the one with Pete Burns. I'm not even sure if that was the same series.
Well, that's Celebrity, no? That's Celebrity.
Celebrity. Well, at the time, I didn't know. Well, I don't know the difference.
It's coming back, though. AJ Odu. We got AJ.
Yeah, she's coming amazing.
Back. ITV.
I mean, we'll see if it finds its audience because it keeps getting canned and then someone else buys it. So there's obviously something in it. But
I mean, Big Brother's one of the most incredible shows of all time. I used to watch the one where it's just live, you know?
Wow, yeah.
Just,
like
they're just there. And the noise, it would always go to like birds tweeting because I don't know why the noise would always cut out. But I used to watch that for hours. Like, what are they doing now?
Yeah, okay. Were you and your mum close when you were growing up?
Yes, very close. A bit too close. We always argued all the time.
And it was just the two of you? So
just the two of us. I don't remember the rest of the song. Then my brother was born.
Aww.
When I was like 10.
So baby brother.
Yeah, he's taller than me now. It's really annoying.
The second children always are.
He's very slender and he looks like a model and I'm jealous. So one day I'm coming for you, Froze.
What were you like as a young person?
Annoying. Annoying. Talk a lot. Very talkative. Very hyperactive. Laughing all the time. I used to cry when I laugh. So if you make me laugh, not now, but back in the day, you make me laugh, I will cry. I couldn't hold it. I couldn't hold it down. I would cry every time. Like tears. Tears of joy.
But that's surely quite intense emotion, sir.
Yeah, a bit too much. All the time.
A sweetheart.
But every time. It's not good.
So what were you like at school?
Annoying.
Do you do well?
I was smart. I was in like tops of everything. I was in gifted and talented, which I never thought was actually a real thing. I was inducted into my gifted and talented by Boris Johnson. I didn't go to a very bougie school. I went to a school in Kilburn, very humble school called St. Augustine's. And he came, this is when he was running for mayor. He came and did a speech and he said, would these students stay behind? And I was like, okay. He said, all the smart people in my year. And he said, me last. And everyone looked at me like, why is he saying your name? So I thought, naturally, we're getting in trouble. But why am I getting in trouble with the smartest people in my year? So he stayed behind. Everyone's left. And he's like, we'd like to welcome you to Gifted and Talented. And I was like, rah. He's like, and I'm going to give you a lesson in Latin. So he taught us Latin for an hour.
What, do you remember anything that you learned?
No, it was Boris Johnson. No. I didn't even listen. We booed him when he came out. We didn't even know why. We just booed him. He just came out. We're like, boo! We didn't even know why. But now I know. Now I know why.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you.
That was some serious foresight.
Come on, G.
When did you first get into cooking?
When I was 9. I started cooking at my mum's house to help when she was pregnant with my little brother to like help around the house, start cooking, and I just kept going from there.
And were you good from the off?
Yes. It's great. I'm basically Gordon Ramsay.
That's a big claim.
From birth.
From birth.
Yeah. No, I was good. I was good. I was, I mean, I've always been a young fat man. So it was, I feel like it's in my blood or in my bones. I always loved food, always had a little like fascination with food. And when I started cooking, I was into it. And then I went to secondary school and I did food tech. And that helped me learn how to do like techniques, like stuff like making a roux, making a red sauce, learn how to make dough. Then I went to college and carried on cooking for my friends and just carried on from there.
It's interesting. So my dad goes, his nickname is FBT.
FBT?
Which means Fat Boy Taylor.
Jeez!
But I wonder, I mean, he's from South Africa. So okay. I feel like maybe for him, culturally, the word fat has never been a bad thing. Yeah, like, yeah. That's his nickname. It's in his email address.
FBT, come
FBT.
On. FBT. It's in his email, I guess. I read that.
For you, did it ever have negative connotations?
No, growing up, definitely, I used to get dissed for being a big lad, but I embraced it. I embraced who I was, you know? It's only so many fat jokes you can take, and then eventually, like, you're all saying the same thing, so you're not actually funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was like, get creative. Say something else. Cuss my hair or something. Don't just cuss me for being fat. I've heard that before. I got a friend that still does fat jokes to this day, and he's called Hisham. And to this day, he'll say a fat joke and he'll laugh so much. And I always look at him like,
it's not funny.
Do better. But my name is Big Zoo, so I embrace it. And maybe not FBT. Maybe not FBT level.
Yeah.
But I do embrace my bigness. I'm called Big Zoo. What's funny is that people meet me and they go, you're not even that big.
You're not. I think that's it. Like my dad, he deserves that nickname. No offense. I love him.
What, you're telling me I'm not a big man? Should I stand up? Should I stand? No, I'm not going to stand because getting in this chair was long.
So your relationship with food has never been difficult? It's always...
Nah, G. Nah. I've always been able to nyam.
Right, let's talk about how you got into music. Yeah. So you were studying to be a social worker.
Yep.
And then you dropped out because your music career was kicking off.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that. How do you start to become successful in music?
I mean, I got to a point where I was doing shows in the night and then going for lectures in the morning. And I'm in a lecture. I'm not even thinking about what we're learning. Yeah. I think about how sick yesterday was. I shut down a rave yesterday. Now I'm in a lecture and listen to this random person tell me stuff. Don't even want to listen to you, bro. I just want to go to the studio. Do you know what I mean? I got to that point. But success in music consistently changes. I feel like you always have a goal and you have a dream. And when you achieve your goals, you sometimes then go on to achieve your dreams. And then now your dreams become your goals. So it's like stuff that I used to aim to do, I'm doing. And that's when you realize, okay, maybe I'm doing well, but then now I want more. So at first it was maybe making a song with someone. Then you make that song with that person. Now it's, I want to perform across the world. Then you perform across the world. And now it's like, okay, I want to have a charting album or this, da, da, da. So it always changes. But for me, I thought I made it when I was at radio, spitting my bars, and I had some of the legends in the game repeating my lyrics. I'll never forget that moment. I was in a room spitting and Skepta was in the back and he was saying the bars. And I was like, you're Skepta.
And you know my music.
You know my lyrics. Mad.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams, so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
We'll be right back.
So were you always musical?
Yeah. I never made music growing up. I never played no instruments, but I was always musical. Always singing all the time, vibing, love music. In my secondary school, I was a music guy.
What did your mum think when you dropped out?
She thought I was possessed by the devil, which is a very African thing. And she started asking people to talk to me. Random people.
You can see it's difficult, right? If you're doing well and you've got basically a job lined up at the end, you know, if you'd finish your degree, then, you know, from that perspective, she knows you've got definite work.
Yeah.
Whereas music is, it's a difficult industry.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I used to ask her to borrow money. And when I dropped out, things are tough. Like, I was like, Mum, can I get £100, please? And she'd be like, I told you, why? You left uni and now you are trying to make music and now you are just... But... I remember when I first paid one of her bills and she's like, okay.
Yeah, so
maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll listen. And then now she's my biggest fan. I have no bigger fan than my mom. My mom, I go on her iTunes and it's only my songs. She's only ever downloaded my songs. Oh. So I'll play a song and she'll be like, I don't have this one. I'm like, yeah, it's not out yet. She's like, can I get it? I'm like, wait, chill. Chill. I have to always tell her, chill. Mom, chill.
Oh, that's so sweet. But that's nice. That self-belief, that self-confidence, you know, not everyone has that. And it's a really wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm very lucky that my mom believes in what I do and she's been able to get with it. Obviously, when I dropped out of uni, it was tough for her. She was thinking, my son's worked all this time to get to university. Like, I'm the first person from my family to do that. So for her, it was quite shameful. It was more of a shame thing. It was more like, people going to look at her like she's failed. But
not anymore.
Not anymore. But I understand that it's you have to have a lot of faith, and having faith in music, especially when I don't come from a family of musicians. For her, it's like, how are you gonna make it in this rap world, grime?
Yeah,
I don't even know what grime is. And then now me and my pals, we've done incredible things, and I have to thank God.
How did you segue into TV?
I was cooking on social media. I had a little cooking show on YouTube. I did two episodes of it. It's called Big Zoo's Kitchen. It was just for fun. I did it to promote my music, but I also love cooking. So people really enjoyed it. They loved it when I did food content. And then a production company called 2-4. There was a developer called Ro Minas. He was a good friend of my manager's through mutual friends. And he was like, yo, that Big Zoo's Kitchen, I like it. Do you reckon we can get Zoo in for a convo to talk about telly? I was like, whatever, this is in 2018, I'm doing music, I'm on the road, I'm on tour, I'm a full-fledged grime MC, I don't do anything. I was presenting as well, so I was presenting on radio and stuff, but music was my main passion, and they hit me up, they said, do you want to make a show? I was like, okay, whatever. They get the money from Dave to do a pilot. I'm like, what's a pilot? I've only seen pilot at the start of a series, you know, say episode one, pilot. Got the pilot, did the pilot with my friends Tubbs in Haidar, and the rest is history.
Because you know them from school, don't you?
Yes.
When you look back now, if you could go back to, I don't know, tell your 13, 14-year-old self, this is where you're going to end up. Do you think you would have believed it?
No way. We did catering together. So we actually cooked together in school. So if you ask my cooking teacher, Miss Boucher and Miss Johnson, do you reckon these three kids would end up being award-winning TV chefs? She would have told you you're smoking the highest weed ever created. Do you know what I mean? She definitely would have said, something's wrong with you. So when I look back and think about where we've made it to, very thankful. A lot of people in our journey, a lot of incredible people that have helped us to get here. And what you see when you see Big Eats, you see the hard work of many people.
What did it feel like to win the BAFTAs?
Electric, emotional. If you watch my speech, I'm kind of angry. I felt like we deserved it.
Because
we lost the year before to Davina McCall Show. I love Davina. Love you, Davina. But I felt like we deserved it. It was in lockdown, so it was a lockdown BAFTA. So we was able to celebrate with our crew, but it was BAFTA over Zoom. So we lost over Zoom. So... losing like that was tough. Rather than losing the room, have to do the fake clap on camera, sit through the ceremony. We lost in a controlled environment. So we was able to be like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So when I went back now here, I'm like sitting in this ceremony, really hot because I chose to wear a jacket. And I will never forget it. When they're saying the names, I'm like, okay, here we go, gonna lose again. And then they said Big Zeus, Big Eats. And we just all looked at each other, we're like, yo, this is mad. But then when I got on stage, I was like, looked out to the audience, and I just thought, we deserve this. We worked so hard to get here. And our story, everyone works hard to make a show, but our story of who we are and what we do in television as chefs is so different. And when I was on that stage, I wanted to deliver a message. And if you watch the speech, a lot of people have watched the speech and have said, it's beautiful, da, da, da. But if you actually look at my tone and my facial expressions and how I'm carrying myself, I'm actually angry. Because I'm angry that I had to say what I had to say, which is talk about working class people in television, talk about representation in television. I didn't want to use that. I should have celebrated that moment. Instead, I used it to speak about something politically. And when I did that, I got a lot of respect for it and I got a lot of love for it. But I was upset that I had to use my moment to do that. But I was also happy that I was able to try and make a change because I feel like that's what I did in that time.
Because it's tiring.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you're right. If someone goes up, they don't have to, you know, if a white man goes up, he doesn't have to say anything about the struggles or the journey because it's accepted that his space, that he can occupy that space. Mm-hmm. And the same, you know, for lots of other people. But it does get tiring. And I speak to comedians a lot and I think, you know, I speak to female comedians and you're having to talk about, oh, you know, what's it like as a female comic, as if it's a genre, or, yeah, you know, a black comedian, oh, what's it like as a black comedian, like that's a genre.
Mm.
Whereas other people, well, actually just white straight men don't have to occupy that space. Yeah. White stale pale.
Yeah, it's
And it's hard,
a lot,
isn't it? Because you do, you know, for me, talking to younger women, I want to make sure that they know that in the workplace, they don't have to be timid and kind and they can speak their mind and they should feel free to do so.
Yeah.
But you don't always want to be that person. And that becomes even more difficult if we're talking, you know, in Britain, class is a huge thing that's overlooked.
Yep.
I think often we talk about diversity, but we don't really acknowledge that actually it's really important that we have a representation of different classes.
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
Gender, sexuality, ethnic background, whatever. It needs to be represented. But it's also difficult because when people are in that space, it feels like they also have to talk about how great it is that they're in that space.
Yes.
Which almost takes away from it a little bit.
Yep.
Because why do we have to?
Yeah, and that's what it was. It was, you explained it really well. It's kind of that. But going through that in such a beautiful moment, but also knowing that I should do this. Because I didn't plan the speech, but I spoke about it with my manager before. And I said, it should be good if you'd be able to touch on something like that. But then being in the moment and doing it, and you watch all the speeches before, all the speeches are so like positive. Like, thank you. I want to thank this person. I want to thank that person. For me, it was like, man's from here. Tubbsy's from here. Hyder's from here. Big up the team, but this is what we're here for. And I felt the clap in the room. The clap was like, it's like, rah, he just said that. And I'm a young man. Like I addressed something as a young person who was only in telly for 2 years. Only 2 years in telly, and I addressed something that was so important. And yeah, it was a lot, but I thank God at the reaction. I thank God at the BAFTAs, at the committee, at the Academy, people that gave me the opportunity to be able to get up there and do that. And then to win the second BAFTA that night. Second BAFTA, I was able to have a bit more fun with it. I mean, I had a little joke, you know, bigged up my mum. But the second BAFTA was the one that spun my brain because I was against Michael McIntyre, the late, great Sean Locke, like just...
Yeah, like industry, like household
people,
names, yeah.
Graham Norton, you know what I'm saying? Alison Hammond, Joe Lycett, like people that are incredible, incredible broadcasters, presenters, comedians, people that have been doing it for years. And they gave me that opportunity to go up there and have two BAFTAs in my hand. I was absolutely spun. And my life definitely changed in that moment. My life changed. I went home and my life changed. Because a lot of people were like, oh, it's sick that you do telly and it's sick that you do these things. But that kind of confirmed it for them. And ever since then, people call me double BAFTA award winning.
Yeah.
Which is very surreal. Especially when I went for the last BAFTAs. I was nominated. We didn't win. But Catherine Tate... and David Tennant were hosting my award.
Nice.
I didn't win, but they, when Catherine got up there, she was like, I've never won a BAFTA. I've been nominated 8 times. And then David Tennant said, I've never been nominated. And I'm looking at both of them like, I've won 2.
You know, wow.
You know what I mean?
That's crazy that David Tennant's never been
nominated. And he's a legend.
Yeah,
well, and so is Catherine Tate. Yeah. I'm above it. You know what I'm saying? They were like, but it just shows like.
Yeah, but you won because you should have won. I know that doesn't take away from that. I mean,
No, I don't. But what it does is it gives you context to.
Yeah, of how
important it was.
Yeah.
Losing last year, the last BAFTAs, which was this year, losing the last BAFTAs, showing me how important it was when we won those 2.
Mm.
You know, we've been nominated every season. We've got 5 noms, which is crazy.
You say your life changed. In what way? Was it a self-confidence thing?
No. We believed in our source regardless. We knew that what we was making was different. We knew it. We knew. Well, we won 2 BAFTAs on Dave.
Yeah.
Like, no disrespect to Dave. I love the channel Dave.
Yeah,
Dave are incredible. UK TV.
Yeah.
We are not BBC, Channel 4, ITV. We are on Dave. And we done that over there. So we knew what we done. We put a lot of hard work. But I guess it was more the recognition from others. And it was my peers. Like, my friends from music were like, yo, you really went to telly and smashed it.
Yeah.
It's like a news presenter winning a Brit.
Yeah. Like, yeah, if you actually break it down like that, that's the truth.
It's like a news presenter saying, I'm going to start making music. 2 years later, you win a Brit.
Yeah.
You'd be like, rah.
It's insane.
Big up Naga Manchetti. Oh,
I love that lady. I think she's magical.
What lady?
She's so articulate. I adore her.
Yeah, she's a great woman.
Broadcasters, they don't
No.
Which is insane, because when I listen back to the edits, I always think, oh, I've got a lot of
broadcasters are cold.
Ums. Yeah.
They're cold.
Well, they have to be.
I watch a lot of like late night BBC News, and it's always someone new. It's always someone I've never seen before. But when they come out, I'm like, you lot are cold. They're just so good at, they'll be talking about like a tsunami, and then they'll switch to like something about like puppies.
Yeah.
Like, and they'll do it so cold, they'll be like, and that's what happened after the tsunami. Anyway, talking about puppies now. And it's like,
it's
the way they always do a little turn as well. They always go, anyway.
Moving on.
And they do it in a one show as well. I just done a one show recently.
Yeah, they switch one so show, quickly.
They'll be talking about like terminal illness. And that is why Claire has 2 weeks to live. Anyway, speaking about plants. You know,
so true. That can
time.
Be quite jarring.
We got Jermaine Genus.
Always depressing. Whereas the one show I think does it well, but when you notice it, it's quite amusing.
You know, I love Hard Talk. Have you watched Hard Talk?
No.
Hard Talk on BBC.
No.
Oh my days. I don't know what the guy's name is, but Hard Talk on BBC, that is serious, serious journalism. He just talks to like political people.
An interview.
Like, he interviews them, but intensively. Be like, why did you start a war? And it's like, okay, yo. Like, he's mad. Why is there economic crisis in your country? I'm like, yo, this brother, it's called Hard Talk for a reason. My dream is to go on Hard Talk.
Wow. Okay, what would his opening question be?
Big Zoo, can you talk to me about the violence and crime? He'll probably do something like that.
Yeah.
He'll get straight to the core.
Yeah, okay.
And like, he puts you on the spot. And I've seen like world leaders go on there.
And they frazzle.
And he has them under so much pressure.
That's good.
I love Hard. I don't know the name of the guy. I've seen him outside BBC once on a bike. And I was like, yo, Hard Talk, man. You're cold. He's a G, though.
Okay,
I rate him so much. We watch Hard Talk in the night. They normally replay it at like 2 a.m. But I'm sure it's not, the slot is not 2 a.m. I'm sure it's on at like 7 or something.
I'm trying to think if I was the presenter, what I would ask you.
You're going
to
Hard Talk me?
I'm going to Hard Talk you.
Go on.
Okay, my Hard Talk question for you would be, what was the response to your song that was a tribute to Grenfell? And what was the importance of that moment?
Ooh.
What did you want to say with that song?
I go to a studio in Labbot Grove. Well, I used to go to a studio in Labbot Grove that looks onto Grenfell. So when Grenfell happened, the next day I was in the area trying to help and give back and see what I could do. I jumped off the train at Latimer Road. And it was like, it was just the area felt very eerie. Went to my friend's studio to go chill. And we were like, what can we do? Like, What can I do? What can I do apart from trying to give back and donate and move stuff around? And there was a lot of food being donated, so we're just carrying hella tins and stuff. What can I actually do? So I said, I was listening to Mary J. Blige's No More Drama on the train, and the song just kept playing in my head. And then I just said, you know what? I'm going to write something. I wrote it. I said, is it too early to talk about it? And my friend said, bruv, what do you mean, is it too early? Like, don't be scared to express yourself. Put it out. Did a little donation link. I didn't know what would come from it, but a lot of the victims and families of the victims said thank you. They were like, thank you for saying what we think happened.
Yeah.
It was a different representation to the media that was coming out at the time of Grenfell.
Yeah.
At the time, it was, oh, how many people have died and what's going on and why did this happen? So my song was just more of a, like, tribute to the people and the actual situation. And for them, it was a little bit of a different representation of what happened at Grenfell. And we're still trying to work with the people, with the team. We've been doing incredible things. I won some money for them on a Sidemen show. Sidemen. I did Sidemen Deal or No Deal with JME, and we opened a 75K box. So I donated my half to Grenfell, which was beautiful. And we're working on some stuff coming up now. I got some stuff coming up in terms of, like, you know, the silent walks and stuff. I've been able to be involved with what they're doing. I've been able to give speeches and be part of the walks. But we're doing something now, hopefully coming up soon. It's a bit more robust, a bit more out there, a bit more open, a bit more angry.
The response to Grenfell from the public was amazing.
Yep.
But actually, politically,
it was terrible. At the time, Theresa May didn't come visit the site, but the Queen did. And Adele did. They came down straight away, but Theresa May couldn't come. She's talking about public safety. So it showed like the response, like you said. But, you know, years have gone by. Questions are still unanswered. People are still not like housed properly. And cladding is everywhere. These things can repeat, and we're still not at the, we still don't understand. No one has been put to blame. People should be in jail, and the effects of what happened in Grenfell are still there. We still have to drive. If you live in West London, you drive down the A40, you still see it all the time, and it's a reminder of what happened at night. And yeah, very life changing moment. My friend Yasin lost his life, and his whole family lost their lives all at one time. In one building, five of them all lost their life to a mistake, to what they said was a fridge sparking. And then a fire happened on the outside going back in. It's sad, but if happens for a reason, and those people's lives have not gone in vain. Like, they represent so much, and they're in a better place now, inshallah. And yeah, we just got to keep going, keep plugging. But that tribute was from the heart, and the response to it was beautiful, because I was really worried that people can be like, why is this guy making a song? Like, people have died trying to make a song. You know what I mean? But people,
especially
actually,
on the internet, you know, you never know. If there is a negative to be found online, it will be found.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. Especially from the victims and the families of the victims reaching out like, yo, brother. And I became one of the faces of the movement, which I never thought would ever happen. I'm just a young man just trying to express myself.
Yeah.
And I've done speeches, I've done the walks, we've done like stuff on TV, still talking about it now and stuff like this.
Yeah.
It's beautiful because we're able to relate back to it and still help. So it's important.
I think something that's really nice about you is you're overwhelmingly positive. Like, I feel like, you know, I listen to interviews in preparation, I obviously watch your show. You have such an energy and such a, like, brightness to you.
Thank you.
And one of my favourite things, because you're a sweetheart, really, because when I watch your show and you cook for someone, that moment on your face when you're waiting for them to try oh, my heart. I'm like, that is somebody who loves and enjoys food.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
And wants the people that eat their food to connect with it, to enjoy it. You're just a sweetheart.
Thank you.
Is what that whole comment
Thank you.
Was.
Let the world know.
Yeah. Let now. It's a sweetheart.
I can't lie. Overwhelmingly positive. I like that one. Cause that's who I am. I do have my negative moments in real life, 1,000,000%. But I love to emit positive energy. That's, for me, that's the biggest blessing of my job, is that every single person I make smile, every single person I make cook food, every single person I make have a good time or just laugh or just have a little bit of fun, for me, that's what charges my life. That's what gives me a good life. I feel like I'm repaid through the world for what I'd give the world. I give the world happiness and that repays me, gives my family a good life, gives my friends a good life. So I'm never going to stop, because all I've ever seen in terms of like my actions is the happier I am, the more positive I am, the more stuff I get in return. So why would I stop? And there are times that sometimes I wake up, I'm like, this is long, life is long, whatever. But I feel like definitely being in the public eye, my thing has definitely always been like to promote goodness. And Big Eats is such an avenue for that. It's, yeah, when you said, when I'm watching the comedians or the celebrities eating, I'm like, enjoy this, you better.
And it's smile. Real, it's genuine. Like, it's, you have this like vulnerability on your face.
Yes.
Which is like, it's kind of like the facade drops. And there's like a moment where you're just, that you can really see, like, that's pure.
And it's jokes that you see that. I don't think people see that.
Yeah.
I need to hide that now. I need to be stiff. Like,
do you ever get nervous?
No.
Never.
No. When I get to new moments of my life, I definitely have nerves. Like when I first did Sunday Brunch, I was like, okay, wow, I'm doing Sunday Brunch.
Yeah.
When I first did Saturday Kitchen, I'm like, oh my God, I'm live on Saturday Kitchen. But I embrace it. So I feel like when I have new moments, like hosting a Sidemen charity match, okay, 2.5 million people are watching this right now, and they're all little kids who are going to destroy me online if I say something wrong. Moments like that, I do get nerves, but I don't get nervous because I embrace it. I go in like head first. Sometimes it don't work. Sometimes it does work. But yeah, no, I'm not really a nervous man. If I was, I guess, I think when I met Jurgen Klopp for the first time, I was like, hi, Big Zoo here for BBC Sports. and I was asking him a question. And he went, the man is in town. And I was like, what? You know me? Because I did a rap about Liverpool that went viral, and then the team heard it. And then because of that, I was able to go ask them some questions on the Champions League media day. And I'll never forget, like, if you watch the video, I am quite nervous. I'm like, hi. And he was like, the man is in town. And I was like, I am in town.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking about me, bruv.
I'm back.
So the moments like that make me realize, just embrace it. Go head first. And then I played football with Jurgen and I was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you rate yourself as a footballer?
Out of 10. Solid 4.
Very good. Anyway, this has gone absolutely unhinged. That's the Radio Times podcast with Big Zoo.
Go watch Big Eats on UK TV Play. What a great tour. It's been amazing.
Thank you. Goodbye. If you enjoyed this episode, you might like to listen to my conversation with YouTuber KSI or my episode with chef Jamie Oliver. Both can be found by scrolling back through the Radio Times podcast feed. Thank you for listening to the Radio Times podcast with me, your host, Kellyanne Taylor. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please do follow, rate and review wherever you get your podcast from. It helps other TV and film lovers find us. Until next Tuesday, happy viewing.